Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete get you set for the week ahead. Waiver wire James hops on with his top drops and pickups. A heated goalie rankings debate and a little analysis of this week's schedule. The separation is in the preparation.
What's going on, everybody? Pete and Rob here with you on this Monday morning, October 14th, Columbus Day. A lot of people have off, but not us.
Not us, but there is a lot of afternoon games, and we're also joined by our good friend, and he sits right next to us at work, Brett Amadon. What's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? Third time's a charm, eh? Had me back.
Yeah, great to have you, man, and we'll get to a lot of good stuff. We got waiver wire talk. We got some picks sprinkled in for looking ahead to the week, and we also got some rankings feedback on the horn from Brett later in the show to look forward to.
Before we get to that, though, let's welcome in James Harding. He writes our top 10 waiver wire piece on NHL.com/fantasy. The guy knows everything about waiver wire pickups. James, what's going on, man?
Not too much, guys. How many of you guys had the Dallas Stars starting 1-4 and 1 through 6 games?
None of us. I mean, we were all very high on that offense, but I know that there's been one guy who's at the top of your waiver wire list who has been producing even in the depths of their struggles, and that's Roope Hintz. Tell us about what you like about his value.
Yeah, you know, when you look at what he has done so far in their first 6 games, 4 goals, 1 assist, 13 shots on goal. We had expected him to kind of be one of the breakout candidates this season, and he's already looking like it. Only owned in 57% of fantasy leagues, so he's available in over 40% of leagues right now. He's centering that first power play unit with Jamie Benn, with Tyler Seguin, with John Klingberg. So I really am very high on Roope Hintz right now, but I want to ask you guys, for fantasy purposes, do you think if the struggles continue in Dallas, they might shuffle those lines a little bit, even though he's playing with Joe Pavelski, and he could find himself soon playing with maybe Radulov or Ben or Seguin? Do you think his value is still even going to go up should they make any kind of line changes like that?
I honestly don't think his value can get much higher than it already is. I honestly almost worry that if Seguin, Ben, Radulov, Klingberg get going, that there might be less points to go around for Hintz. It's kind of like it could go either way, but I think Hintz's value right now is standalone, and certainly if he's available in your league, that's a guy you need to pick up regardless of the Stars' slow start.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Rob. I mean, looking at the stats, Dallas gotten off to a slow start. Ben, Radulov, they only have 2 points this season. Klingberg's only got 1, and you know the big addition was Joe Pavelski, but we really haven't heard his name all that much this season. I agree, though. You think the guys are going to get started this week. They got 4 games. I think they know that with the Central Division, they're going to have to start playing better. And you're right, when those guys, the top line starts producing a little bit more, that might take away some of the puck possession time for Roope.
I actually think that when the other guys get going, he could possibly get bumped off the first power play, which scares me as a Hintz owner, but very high on that player as well. James, speaking of teams starting slow, I know nobody's on your list from this team, but the New Jersey Devils, do you think that this team can turn it around? Because right now, winless through 5, high expectations seem to gone up in smoke.
There were definitely some high expectations going into the season. I was a little skeptical on the back end. I still thought that even with the addition of PK Subban, they didn't do enough defensively, and I just didn't know if you could fully trust their goaltending situation or not. I'm not surprised to see them start the way that they have right now, but I still think you have some players on that team that do have a lot of standalone value. Obviously, the big guys, Hischier, Hughes, Hall, Subban, Palmieri. But outside of that, I really don't see a lot of depth options for fantasy leagues where I'm running to the waiver wire to pick up anybody that they have, maybe in their middle 6 or any of their defensemen outside of Subban.
James, the player that intrigues me most on your list is Jonathan Drouin of the Montreal Canadiens. What do you view his ceiling as this season?
You know, it's very interesting to see what he could potentially become because he's only skating on the third line right now. He's not even skating in their top 6 consistently. And so when you factor that in, you know, their first line is Tatar, Deneau, and Gallagher. Their second line is Lehkonen, Domi, and Wheel. So he's on that third line, and he is producing very well at the moment. He's opened up the season right now, 5-game point streak. He's coming off a multi-point game on Saturday. against St. Louis with a goal and an assist. So I think that if he can continue to put out the production that we have all expected from him for years, if he can continue anywhere close to this level of production, they have no choice but to move him up. He is seeing consistent power play usage, which is probably his only saving grace right now. If you're going to add him in all league formats, I think he is a must-own in deeper league formats, in 12-plus team leagues, even 10-team leagues, he's probably worth considering right now for the fact that he is getting that first power play usage. But I think I'm iffy on him in certain situations until he sees more of a productive role in that offense.
I like streaming his line mates, to be honest. We picked Joel Armia, who's been scoring goals lately, in our DFS picks. We also have Jesperi Kotkaniemi, has been on Rob's radar all off season long, and those are the guys playing with Drouin right now. One guy who jumps out at me, Vladislav Namestnikov, had a huge game against his former team after being traded to the Senators. We know it's a bad team, but there's some sneaky value there.
Well, that's one thing that we have consistently said about the Ottawa Senators for the last year or two, is that no matter what, they're going to give these guys the chance to be productive. And I think that when you look at Namestnikov, he's going to get that chance that we all thought he was going to get with the Rangers and that he had gotten with the Tampa Bay Lightning. We remember
for sure
when he was on that top line with the Lightning and he was producing, and then they traded him to the Rangers, and it seemed like immediately the Rangers just buried him in their bottom six. Now he's getting top 6 minutes for the Senators. He's seeing power play time, and now he's got 5 points in his first two games there. So I definitely think that he's one of those guys who could return sneaky fantasy value for the remainder of the season if he continues to get the expanded role in the Senators' offense that he wasn't getting in New York's offense.
Well, I think just, you know, going off the expanded role too, I think it's just a better fit for him, you know, maybe culturally, like he talked about after Ottawa's last game against Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, he talked about how in New York, you know, maybe he didn't feel as comfortable there. It was a little bit more hectic. It's a little bit more slow down pace in Ottawa. And I think that plays a lot sometimes for a young player, someone who's trying to get their career back on track, going to someplace like Ottawa. That might be exactly what he needed instead of playing under the bright lights in New York.
Well, 100%. And also you have to factor in Tampa Bay, he was skating on one of the best lines in the NHL for a contender, and then he gets traded to the New York Rangers and buried in their bottom six for a team that was going through a rebuild. So I think that now he's just being given the opportunity again to be in a productive role, and I think he's going to take it and run.
James, Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen are both off to great starts for Edmonton. If both are available on the waiver wire, who are you choosing and why?
I think just for what he's done over the course of the last few seasons, I would go with Smith. I think that he's going to be the one who sees, I don't think it's going to be the bulk of the starts, but I think he's going to outstart in net, and I definitely think that if you can get both of them and get the handcuff, that's definitely what you want to do. But if you're looking for a standalone option, I think Smith is going to return more value as far as wins overall, and he's going to get more starts. I think he's just going to be given the opportunity just because of the resume that he has for his career and the fact that he is off to such a hot start. You know, his save percentage is a little weak, only .907, but he did have one game against Los Angeles, their second game of the year, where he gave up 5 goals against. His other two starts, he's given up 2 goals on 31 shots and 1 goal on 21 shots. So I would definitely say I like Smith going forward.
James, but you kind of mentioned what I was going to say, though. Doesn't he give you a little bit of pause? Because I know Edmonton's off to the good start, 5-0, but you know, not a lot of us had Edmonton making the playoffs. Could this be a situation like Buffalo last year where they got off to a good start, but maybe they start tapering down the stretch? Because you mentioned it, you know, the game against Los Angeles kind of gives me a little bit pause, 5 goals against LA. I know they've been scoring a lot more at the start of the season, but his numbers are average despite being 3-0-0 with a 2.67 goals against, and you mentioned a .907 save percentage.
And I would agree with that. I think it really comes down to the back end of things. How much can we trust Edmonton's defense outside of Oscar Klefbom and Darnell Nurse? But I think over the long haul, he's going to return slightly more value than Koskinen. We all know that it's going to be a timeshare. You know, we know that neither one of them is probably going to hit 50 starts this season. So I would expect maybe like a 48-44 split or 45-47, somewhere about there. I think it's going to be pretty even, but I think at the end of the day, Smith is still going to get the nod for more starts as the season progresses.
What's your what are your thoughts on Ilya Samsonov? Because Braden Holtby's struggling right now, 1-1-2, sub-900 save percentage. Samsonov, 2-0-0, really strong save percentage. And that's like the contract year implications for Holtby. Are you advocating people to pick up Ilya Samsonov here and now, assuming he's going to take some of the reins from Holtby?
I would have to think so. When you look at what he's done so far, whether or not, whatever you want to make about the Islanders and the Stars' offenses, you have to play the teams that are on your schedule, and he's gone out there and he's shut both of those teams down. 25 saves on 26 shots in his NHL debut against the Islanders, and then 24 saves on 25 shots against the Stars on Saturday night. I like what he does. He's very calm in net for somebody who is as young and as inexperienced at the NHL level as he is. He is the future there at some point, and I think that you are still going to see Holtby be Holtby. He's still going to see the bulk of the starts there, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Samsonov get somewhere between about 30 and 35 starts this season, and I think that that is right about the point where you would want a goaltender to return standalone value for your fantasy team.
James, there's a handful of teams that play four games each this week. Three that stand out to me as being sneaky options: Anaheim, Minnesota, and Vancouver. Which team should I target a guy from?
You know, I wrote about Tanner Pearson from the Canucks this week in the piece. He's seeing top 6 minutes right now for the Canucks. He scored a goal and had four shots on goal in their win against the Flyers over the weekend. He had 11 shots on goal in their first game of the season, so he's 18 shots on goal right now through four games. So he's definitely letting the puck rip. He had 12 points and 9 goals in 19 games with Vancouver at the end of last season. So I think that where he is right now, he's seeing that expanded role that we saw from him a few years ago in Los Angeles, and I think that he's just comfortable in that offense right now. He's playing on a line with Bo Horvat. He's seeing solid power play time. So I would definitely look at somebody like Tanner Pearson going forward this week with Vancouver's slate of games.
James, a couple of bounce-back candidates on your list from the beginning of the season who are bringing early returns in fantasy. Oscar Klefbom, we've been talking ad nauseum about the Edmonton Oilers and their hot start. But Ilya Kovalchuk's out there as well. He's been really productive on a per-game basis. Even though the Kings are a shaky team moving forward, do you like Kovalchuk to return value in standard leagues?
I do, but I'm very, very wary about him just because we have seen hot starts from him before and then he's fizzled. He is skating outside of their top six right now, so that is a little bit concerning to me. He does have 6 points so far in four games, two multi-point games. So I think that he can return solid fantasy value for owners down the stretch, or I should say here at the start of the season. But after that, it kind of comes down to his usage, where he's put in that lineup. If he can crack back into the top six, then definitely I say he is worth adding in pretty much almost all fantasy leagues, because I do think the Kings are going to take that step back forward this season. But right now I'm leery until I see if he can continue this production level and if he can jump back into their top six.
Yeah, we'll all keep tabs on that one for sure. So thanks for the information, James. You can catch him at jharding_hockey. And make sure you read the top 10 waiver wire piece on NHL.com/fantasy.
Thanks for having me on this week, guys, and look forward to next week. Also, just want to throw out there one guy who didn't make the list this week that definitely people should be considering, only 25% owned in fantasy leagues, is Paul Stastny. 5 points over the weekend for the Golden Knights.
Thanks again, James, and that's a really nice tidbit to close out his segment. Paul Stastny, fresh off a 4-point game for that Vegas Golden Knights offense. He's actually playing on the power play with Cody Glass, which I like.
Yeah, but it gives me a little bit of pause. He's got 5 points this year. Four of them came yesterday, 2 goals and 2 assists, so that means he's got 1 point in his other five games. You know, but he is seeing time on the power play, like you said, playing alongside Jonathan Marchessault, Max Pacioretty, Cody Glass, so he could return value, but don't expect 4 or 3 points every single night.
I just want to throw out one thing to the roundtable here. There's a couple teams that we had pegged pretty highly coming into the season that are off to a little bit of a slow start. Mm-hmm. Out of Dallas and Florida, which team as a fantasy owner should I truly be concerned about?
I think you should be more concerned about Dallas right now because they have the top guns. They're all there. They're all playing. They've mixed and matched some lines a little bit. Not many returns so far. Florida, at least you're seeing, they are leading the NHL in shots on goal per game. They've had, you know, some difficult schedule quirks. They played a home-and-home to start with Tampa Bay. Actually won one of those games, which is encouraging. But, yeah, Florida I'm a little less worried about. Dallas team I picked to make the cup final. I mean, I'm a little worried on this second Monday of the season.
You're going to be surprised by this, but I disagree with you. You know, the one thing I like outside of statistics for Dallas is the fact that they have experience, especially playing in the playoffs last season. And I think that means something. They know how to win. Florida as a team maybe doesn't know how to win yet. So just going That's based fair. Off that, they have four games this week, Dallas. It's big. You think they probably want to get at least three of them. But just on experience alone and the veteran leadership that they have, I would expect Dallas to get out of the rut sooner rather than later.
The one thing with Florida that remains consistent dating back to as long as I can remember in hockey is Sergei mm-hmm. Bobrovsky and his slow starts to the yep. regular season. Last year with Columbus, this guy was pretty darn bad through, I'd say, mid to late November. And then from December 1st on to the end of the season, he was probably the top goalie to own in fantasy. Actually finished with 9 shutouts, which led the league, or was tied first for the league with your favorite player, Brett Marc-Andre Fleury. No need to throw shade on that now, but yeah,
so I can't.
So I think to kind of answer my own question, I guess I feel pretty good about Florida, Pete, but mm-hmm. yeah, I'm kind of with you on the Dallas train.
And then on the flip side, I mean, this Edmonton situation, I think it's a good sell high opportunity, excluding, of course, McDavid and Draisaitl. But like Oscar Klefbom, to me, if I had him, he's top 10 in the NHL in power play points right now. Sell high right now.
You know, well, okay, I would say Klefbom, the only reason I would maybe hang on to him is because D is so scarce, mm-hmm. but we see this every year. Klefbom has a good week, then disappears.
Then
Nurse has
injured.
A good week, right, or gets injured. Nurse has right. a good week, and then disappears. The only player on Edmonton that I feel, well, the two players waiver wire, it's that I feel strongly about on them that I'd need to keep is James Neal and Zach Cassian.
Yeah, and Edmonton's playing 4 games this week, so, you know, a team going 4-0-0 in a week, you know, odds of that happening aren't very good, so you got to think Edmonton's unbeaten streak is going to come to an end at some point.
That is very true. Now, also, a team that we didn't really touch on, haven't really touched on at all from fantasy, is the Anaheim Ducks. Mm-hmm. Outside of John Gibson, is there anybody I should be considering picking up because they also have 4 games this week?
Absolutely. There's Cam Fowler, has looked rejuvenated so far this year. Andre Kasha, a guy we've been pegging in each and every show, really, for DFS purposes, but for season-long as well. He's playing right now, I believe, with Getzlaff and Max Comtois, who's back from the AHL. So that's encouraging. That's a top line that could stick for the entire season. And Anaheim's getting the best goaltending of any team in the league right now. So that's less of a plus-minus liability for your season-long leagues.
Colorado Avalanche also have 4 games this week. Phil Grubauer is off to a great start for fantasy owners. Probably not getting all 4 games, though, this week. And it looks like they play some tough opponents. Fade or start?
Fade. You know, I had to eat words a little bit. Grubauer's off to a good start. He's kind of continuing what he did late last season. All power to him. I mean, some of the teams Colorado played, 4 straight games at home, Minnesota, Arizona. Congratulations, you're 4-0. But 4 games on the road this week. They start Monday against the Washington Capitals. That's a high-scoring offense. Then they go to Pittsburgh. They scored 7 goals 3 times this season. Florida and then Tampa Bay in a back-to-back. That is a really tough stretch. Colorado, they could lose 3 of those 4 games. Not saying Philip Grubauer is off to a good start, but, you know, that's a tough stretch for anybody. So definitely fade him this week if you're in a week-long league.
I actually think, I know you were mentioning some of Grubauer's opponents. His best opponent so far was maybe his best game. That was against the Boston Bruins. So,
well, he allowed 4 goals in that game. 2 of them got called back, though, so.
Yeah, that's the way hockey works. If a review happens, I mean, a goal gets called back. You can't blame the goalie for that one. So, yeah, actually for Colorado, on a positive standpoint, I'm looking at Andre Burakovsky, especially when he plays the Washington Capitals. A lot of motivation there. He's playing in the top 6. Has scored some dynamite like goals so far. Had a nice goal in the Bruins game, scored the overtime goal to beat the Coyotes. So he's getting involved, change of scenery. At least a guy to keep an eye out on the waiver wire, like tag him on your watch list.
One thing I wanted to touch on here today, too, is the Pittsburgh Penguins. I was surprised to see them be able to score as many goals as they have without Malkin in the lineup. Mm-hmm. Is there any untapped value there? Should I be getting some of these AHL guys that are now scoring in the NHL?
Well, with Pittsburgh, they've been scoring a lot of goals, but what I've been seeing is, like, Jake Ensel had a couple goals the other day. Sidney Crosby's been doing his thing, but he can elevate other players. Like, Zach Aston-Reese had a couple goals. Mm-hmm. You know, pay attention to maybe, like, Teddy Bluger. Mm-hmm. You know, just... I think the way that they play, feeding through their best players, you know, it elevates maybe other guys that would be like a third line player on another team.
And I'll piggyback off that by saying in DFS contests, it looks like Sid Crosby, Chris Letang, and maybe their starting goalie is someone that you really want to build your lineup around while they're on their little hot streak here.
It sounds obvious, but Sidney Crosby, the way he's playing, the way he's being praised by his coach during this absence of Malkin, during this stretch where, let's be honest, there were some of those games where they just did not look like the Pittsburgh Penguins that we've come to know over the past 15 years. But on a game-to-game basis, that guy, Sid the Kid, is worth spending up for every single night because he puts the team on his back.
So before we put a bow on this episode, guys, Pete, I kind of got a bone to pick with you with the top 25 goalie rankings that came out last week. You know, it was only 1 week. What can you learn from goalies after 1 week? They played one, maybe two games, but you found it necessary to drop one goaltender in particular kind of low in your rankings. Who was that?
That was your guy, Semyon Varlamov. I mean, I think that Grice got off to the hot start. It was kind of around the timing of the situation where we went with Grice. We actually flipped them in our rankings after Grice's strong performance. One thing that worries me about the Islanders is that their puck possession is low. They're like second worst. Their shot attempts percentage is second worst in the NHL to this point in the season. And that's why I'm more inclined to be patient with the elite goalies out there and worry about a Varlamov, who is a bounce back guy. I mean, he's not someone who's been elite year to year to year.
So this is where I'm going to start with that. You mentioned that Grice was outperforming Varlamov. He made one start. Varlamov gave up four goals in his second start, sure. If you watch the game, though, he never really played that bad. But one thing I'll start off with is Robin Lehner last year. Everyone talked about, you know, what he did with the Islanders. He allowed four goals in his second start. So after two games, you just need to take a deep breath and just relax. Thomas Grice in his second game, he allowed four goals. And then what did Varlamov do after that? He played outstanding against the Florida Panthers. But here's the issue I have, really. It's that when we're doing these rankings, it's you faded one guy after two games when there's a lot of other goaltenders on here that just flat out stunk. And you kind of left them the same. Like, for example, Bobrovsky and Bishop are still in the top four. Dallas can't get a win, and Bobrovsky's been terrible. You know, Holtby being number 11. Martin Jones and Devin Dubnyk are ranked higher than Varlamov. They combined for one win. Ranta's played one game. It's actually incredible that, you know, some
that
guys...
they're all ahead of Varlamov, that the world doesn't revolve around
It doesn't
Varlamov.
Revolve around Varlamov, but what I'm saying is you're fading one guy where for one game when there's other people who, for example, like, have just as bad of a game, but they stay. So, like, just for example, just before we wrap this up, one thing I just want to point out is that there are 22 goaltenders ranked higher than Varlamov. 15 of them have allowed at least four goals in one start this year. So, you know, maybe these rankings, you know, wait for the goaltender to play a couple games before, you know, maybe jump into conclusions.
Fair. Wow, that was a monologue out of Brett. And let me tell you something. It put me to sleep, and it's putting Rob to sleep. Mm-hmm. And if Petey wasn't on defense, he'd be sleeping. And I know the listeners are asleep. And I'll just say this. Let's put a bow on the show, please.
So if anyone is still listening at this point, thank you so much. Your patience is much appreciated. But definitely keep us updated on Twitter with how you guys are doing in DFS contests. And if you need help with your lineups, I'm at NHL Reese. Pete is at NHL Jensen. And we're all at NHL Fantasy.
And we actually have a really cool thing coming up here. So everybody who listens to the show should check out the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast hotline. Call us, leave us a message with your comments. We'll air some on the show. We'll answer your questions related to season-long DFS and gambling. The number is 917-830-8114. That's 917-830-8114. 8114. Hit us up.
And thank you, Brett, for hopping back on with us.
Sorry I put you guys to sleep.
I thought it was good. It's a little pushback, right? If nobody responds to our rankings, it's like we're just doing them into the abyss. So I do appreciate it.
Brett, I don't want to hurt your feelings. It was a tremendous monologue. You didn't put us to sleep. You just put us to sleep.
No, it's all good. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday here on NHL Fantasy on Ice.